I will teach you real kung fu. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party. I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, we are making our final stop. We are here. It is the final stop on our journey to Karate Kid Legends. This episode is coming out the same day that Karate Kid Legends is hitting theaters. Very excited for this moment. Excited that the... What was that?
When does the movie come out?
Today.
When is today?
When you're listening to this. We're not recording it on the... This is all staying, by the way. This is not coming... This is being recorded a week before the movie
comes out.
Yes, it comes out next week. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that's enough time for me to drive all the way to Chicago and watch it with you.
I know. Oh. I know. I'm also a bit bummed. I haven't seen any cool popcorn buckets yet. Because, you know, that's like the thing now.
I'm just stoked because I had no idea it was coming out this soon.
Well, we've already spoiled it. Terrible. We're on our way to the Karate Kid Legends debut with our review of The Karate Kid starring Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith. And joining me here today, we've already had a full-blown conversation. Joining me here today, making his long-awaited return to the dojo, is Joshua Knoll. Josh, welcome back.
Man, thank you so much for having me back. I'm so honored, even though I really did not remember this movie when you originally invited me. I was like, I don't remember this one, but I think I remember liking it. So,
here's the thing. You've established yourself as kind of like a... Oh, Jackie Chan's in the movie? Sure, why not? If I would have thought about it.
That was my thought process.
If I would have thought about it, I probably would have had you on back in January when I did Snake in the Eagle's Shadow, but I just forgot to reach out to you.
I did think, having rewatched it this week, part of my thought process was like watching. I was like, did Brandon have me on because of Jackie Chan or because this is like a very Taoist film? Like the principles are so Taoist it hurt.
It is very Taoist. It does work. It was mostly the Jackie Chan. And then as I rewatched it, I was like, oh, yeah, he's going to love this movie. I bet you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But listeners joining us for the first time here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high flying action in 30 minutes or less. Lol. And serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. And I do the LOL because, you know,
I make this hard for him.
He makes it hard. We love him. But there's a reason why it's been 6 months since the last time he was here.
Yeah. There's a reason I do podcasts with TJ.
With TJ. Oh, yeah.
We balance each other out.
Oh, yeah. We learned that a couple weeks ago when TJ was here for Karate Kid Part 3. I mean, we got done and he was like, that was perfect. Good to know. Thank you.
Well, also, just so your listeners know, to bulk up how great your show is, it's also because he was on a roundtable for the whole church the same day recording that was almost 2 hours of recording.
He did mention that.
Yeah. I think it just was just a really pleasant to not do another 2 hour.
I'm sure. So we're here today to talk about The Karate Kid. Mm-hmm. The one that is kind of like the redhead stepchild of this cinematic universe. Mainly
so
because, it wasn't supposed to be part of this universe. Karate Kid Legends is retconning things. This was supposed to be its own separate universe. It was supposed to have a sequel in the 2010s. Honestly, I think the most interesting part about this movie is the surrounding context of like what's going on behind the scenes in the lead up to it. It was supposed to be its own universe. Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith basically produced this movie to give Jaden Smith a starring role to try and launch him into stardom. And according to Jackie Chan, everybody on set referred to this movie logically as The Kung Fu Kid. And in the People's Republic of China, this movie is actually called The Kung Fu Dream. So all of that I find to be almost more interesting than the movie itself. That being said, this movie got a lot of heat when it came out. Mm. But watching it last night, I don't think it's that bad. It is not as bad as I remembered it. Josh, at a high level, what did you think of this movie?
I thought It was an incredible 1990s kung fu film. But not a very good 2010s kung fu film.
How dare you? That soundtrack was so 2010s. That soundtrack.
True, the soundtrack was also awesome, though. I loved that.
Even though the theme song was Never Say Never by Bieber, that was like the actual main theme. Keep in mind some of the other amazing... Huh?
Don't hate on Bieber. I will. Just because his country has tariffs now?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Never mind. We love Justin Bieber and Ryan Reynolds and all things Tim Horton here, Canadian listeners.
Yeah, I just want to know when The Karate Kid in Canada is coming out. For me, though, rewatching it, I actually think, because, you know, it's a lot like what some of my favorite Bible nerdery stuff does, where, like, it tells the same story, but with differences, and the differences are actually the point. And I think one of the cool differences was actually in the antagonist, where I was like, okay, wait a minute. The bully isn't just a bully. We kind of see near the end, like, oh, there's more to this. Which Karate Kid also kind of retcons that with the TV series that I still think only happened because of How I Met Your Mother.
We're not surprised that you have that opinion.
Yeah. I'm like, that's legitimate though. Like I'm not joking. I really do think it's because Barney Stinson made a joke and then someone went, what if he was right though?
What if it's like the ultimate, what if we just roll with this idea?
Yeah.
And I mean, here we are.
A few of our favorite Marvel characters came from What If comics that they were like, wait a minute. I think that would have happened because that was cool.
We should keep that one. Let's keep that one in mind.
I think Dr. Strange was one of those, right?
I think
so. We digress. Continue. Sorry.
We digress. That's a Pastor Will question. Yeah. That's a Ryan Doe's question. So I get what you're saying about the antagonist. I'm going to push back a little bit against the antagonist. I think there are two big issues in this movie. The antagonist is one of them. I don't think they carry as much emotional weight as any of the other antagonists have been. As cheesy as Terry Silver, cartoon mustache-twirling villain is in part three, and as cheesy as the Alpha Elite or whatever they're called in the next Karate Kid, I can't tell you the school, the master's name, the bully's name. They're just there. So I will point that out. I think that is a big issue for this movie. Yeah.
I agree with you. But I also just don't remember I only remember the original Karate Kid and then now this one because I watched it this week. So like,
yeah. Cobra Kai does do a good job of bringing in everything but the next Karate Kid stuff. I think there's like a throwaway line that acknowledges the existence. I don't think if they're going to start bringing the Jackie Chan film in with the Karate Kid proper universe, I don't see any of these people showing back up outside of just Jackie Chan.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly could see the other coach or specifically the one kid,
Shark Chen, Boy,
I think was his name. Yeah.
Sure. Shark Boy? That I kept calling the kid with the blue uniform and the frohawk. I kept calling him Shark Boy.
I wish we saw him again. I don't think we'll see him again, but I wish we did.
I know.
He might have been my favorite random bit. Like, whoever put him in the film just had ADHD. That's the only reason he was included.
I would have... That should have been the sequel, is Dre versus Shark Boy.
True. Oh, man. But okay, so wait. So you said the antagonist. So what was the other big negative you said from this film?
So I know for a lot of people, the issue for this movie is Jaden Smith's acting. Let's be nice. He's a child. And also, in this film at least, the split in image of his dad. That is little Will Smith there on screen, you know?
Yeah, I didn't think he did bad.
I don't think he did bad. I think that was a lot of the issue, though, when the movie first came out. By way of a Karate Kid film, though, and this is now canon, right? This is being retconned in now. there is no central move. I said that about the last review, and Christian Ashley rightly pointed out that Hilary Swank does learn like a jump sidekick technique. There is not a central technique that Dre learns that he then uses to win the fight. He pulls a backflip kick out of nowhere. And for me, this movie is good. It is watchable until you get to the tournament. And then you get to the tournament part, and it's cool. It's fun to watch, but all reality is thrown out the window. The Karate Kid movies have done a really good job, even in part two and the next Karate Kid, where the final fights were not in tournaments, but were more like street fights. The combat has always been very grounded. The crane kick, the Miyagi family kata withstanding, everything's always been very grounded. You get to this tournament and children are doing professional wrestling moves on each other. Hurricanranas, Frankensteiners.
Okay, I see what you're talking about now.
So it's fun to watch, and the graphics for the instant replay were so 2010s.
That was so funny.
That was maybe the best part outside of Shark Boy. But go ahead. Go ahead.
I want to push back a little bit.
Okay.
I do see what you're saying. And absolutely, they're doing random professional moves. Like, and one of the things that did bug me was like a lot of the stuff that he does in the tournament. I'm like, nowhere did we learn that you learned that. So correct. There's a little bit of disconnect there. But my favorite fight move, because I was thinking about it while I was watching it, in case you were going to ask me.
Of course.
Actually, it was from the tournament. One of the things I thought was really cool was how grounded some of his stuff was until later in the tournament.
You get into the final.
Because there was like this thing where like everybody's doing like these random crazy like flips and like stupid stuff. And one of the early fights, he just straight up does like a straight round kick up in the air because this guy's jumping at him. And I'm like, that's absolutely what I would have done. Someone jumps at me, you just, all right, thank you. You made yourself a very easy target. You had the high ground. And I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. That round kick that was could good. Have been the finishing move. I know that's not as cinematic as the backflip kick, but they actually built to it. They show him doing all this stretching and kicking really high targets. That actually could have been the finish.
And I would have liked that a little bit more, too, because it could have been more poignant. Now we're just doing like a what if episode. But it could be more poignant, though, because a lot of what Jackie Chan was teaching. I know that's not the character's name, but it's like every movie Chuck Norris is in. He's Chuck Norris.
He's Chuck Norris.
Jackie Chan is Jackie Chan. Come on, guys. like Owen Wilson is Owen Wilson. I don't know the character's name in Loki. It's Owen Wilson.
It's Owen Wilson.
But like he was teaching Jaden, I guess I just know all of them by their actor name. He was teaching the kid, like he was teaching him, just go back to the basics, man. Like, it's not about all this fancy crap that everybody else is doing. So I think instead it would have been really cool if the last final move, instead of being another fancy kick, was actually leaning into that point of like, actually, the fundamentals are way more important than the fancy stuff. Get those right. You're going to win. And in fact, I think personally what I would have loved if he would have won because he stepped out of the way. Like, that would have been hilarious to me. I would have loved that.
Just like, strips.
Oh, you're going to jump at me? Cool. I win.
Because even, I guess you can make an argument that there he starts doing the snake thing. But again, he's never actually like training to do the snake thing. He just starts staring at the kid weird. Yeah. Every martial artist knows that when you learn like a series of movements, like a kata or something like that, there's like no chance that you're ever going to be in a situation where you actually implement those things exactly in that order. But humor me, the jacket movement would have worked as well. The jacket on, jacket off thing. Perfect replacement for wax on, wax off. I loved every bit of it. Because it was also kind of complex, too. That could have been it. That could have been the kid comes out him in the perfect movement, and he just wins with the, like, double hand strike, palm strike to the chest. And that's it. Very simple.
Now I can't get over how much the fancy stuff just doesn't match the rest of the movie. Because you brought up earlier, or I brought up earlier, this was a very Taoist film for a lot of it. Like, like we're getting so much of the stuff of, like, learn to go with the flow, mm-hmm. be the reflection, you know, learn your truest self, be that, and just mm-hmm. be Kung Fu. Like, and I do, as someone who's participated in martial art fights and tournaments, a long time ago, mind you, but still, I do know, like, a lot of times when I was the calmest, when I was the most at ease, the most comfortable, was when I did the best, not when I was, like, really angry or had the perfect move. Never sure. once, like, I don't think I ever won a tournament when I went out with, like, this is the move I'm going to use. If I go in knowing the move I'm going to use, you lose, because
you're going to telegraph.
You're going to be so easy to read.
Yeah.
But go in like, hey, I'm going to see what he does. I'm going to reflect that. It's a dance. And if you're willing to dance, then you got a shot. And I don't know. I feel like they could have leaned into that a little bit better, because so much of the movie was around these themes and the spiritual idea. And I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And then, yeah, like you said, we get to the tournament and I do like some of the stuff, like that roundhouse kick was cool because it was fundamentals. But then you get these, like, weird, fancy stuff. And I'm like, that's just not congruent with the theme of the film.
Yes. Other than that, I think the movie does a really good job, as you said earlier, of doing Karate Kid tropes, because we're five movies deep now, there are tropes, doing Karate Kid tropes or references. Well, I think it does a really good job. Probably one of the best ones, as you said, you know, kind of doing it differently, but alluding to it, is really early on, where it looks like Jackie Chan, Mr. Han, is trying to catch a fly with his chopsticks, which shows up in the first movie, and then he smacks it with a fly swatter. Like,
I love that.
That was a good one. And if you're here for the Jackie Chan comedy, that's about it. Jackie Chan's not really in a comedic mood. We get him more in, like, a serious role here with a fantastic mustache. Can we have a little bit of appreciation for the mustache, please? That was great.
Phenomenal. Also, it is just refreshing to see Jackie Chan play other characters other than just Jackie Chan, you know.
I'm Jackie Chan. I'm going to do a big stunt. We don't really get a big stunt here from Jackie Chan.
I'm going to make a cool joke and there's going to be moose antlers.
Moose antlers.
We don't have to worry about that this time. Although he does kind of show everything's kung fu. You learn to use the things around you. He still kind of shows his, very lightly, he shows his, like, oh yeah, we use what we have to fight with, because you know, it's all part of kung fu, the dance. So, like, they kind of hint at that's what Jackie Chan does, but you never actually see him grab moose antlers in this film.
No, but you do get jackets, and jackets is one of the big ones for him that often shows up, is him using different forms of jackets or shirts. Ladders is another one, and I don't know how they were going to do ladders in this movie, but they got the jacket.
Chutes and ladders. They could have just had it in there.
Just playing chutes and ladders.
just as, like, a wink to the Jackie Chan fans, like, see what you did there.
I see what you did there. So it was the part when we got to when Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith get to this temple that I thought to myself, oh, yeah, Josh is really into this movie at this point. So am I correct? Yeah. Is this where a lot of it for you really sunk in?
It felt kind of random, that bit at the temple. But it did. I still liked it because he was talking about the reflection. He was talking about.
Yes.
What? Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of random to me. So I was like, this probably could have been edited out. I'm glad it didn't, just cause. But he's talking about, like, the reflection and being water was kind of hinted at. I liked that, you know. and for me, again, as someone who did martial arts for a long time, like, that whole idea of the dance, they don't use the word dance, I don't think. But, like, you're seeing that, whereas, like, you have to learn my emotion, anticipate what I'm going to do and go. And that's the part that was really cool. So when I did martial arts, I started in Taekwondo, and it was very much like scripted fights. Basically, you're going to do this set of moves, and then, okay, now you do this set of moves, and then you're going to fight other people who know the same set of moves that you just learned, and who, you know, you get two or three hits in, you know, whatever. And it was very static. And then I met some people who did ninjutsu and stuff like that. And once I started communicating with them and they showed me some stuff and I was doing stuff outside of just the dojo, and we were like just doing stuff together with people who learned other senseis, is when I was like, oh, wait a minute. This isn't just I learn move, you learn move, and let's see who does move best. You know, it was, oh, wait a minute. I see what you're doing. You see what I'm doing. It's about reading the other person. It's like that 40-dimensional chess that people think politicians are doing. It's really the martial artist, actually. And it's not analytical as much as it's like soul. It's heart. It's learning to be the reflection of the snake. Yeah.
I think this is a good time to let you know you're still on mute. No, I'm kidding.
that would have been great.
I think this is a good time to maybe just shoehorn in here for everybody. You have several podcasts, one of them being a show that was called Dummy for Theology. That has been rebooted a little bit, rebranded, and it reminded me of the fact, because you kept bringing up water, which is a big part of Taoist philosophy. Not that I've read my fair share of Bruce Lee. So do you mind telling us a little bit about your new your rebooted program?
Yeah, Dummy for Theology is still going to exist as part of Be Living Order. Okay. I'm planning on sometime this week recording an episode that's going to be Dummy for Theology. It's just going to be posted on the podcast Be Living Water, but probably later this month, I'm just going to talk about some stuff that I found healing in, or some stuff that I've been reflecting on myself, a little devotional kind of stuff. Trying to be more genuine to myself instead of just theology and creating podcasts every time I have a new idea. Instead, just being like, hey, listen, I'm an ADHD person who is spiritual and has these ideas, and I use this for myself, almost like a personal diary, you know. And sometimes my diary is filled with my thoughts on theology, and sometimes it's, you know, I feel like I'm probably going to be doing a study on Daniel over there soon, because I think the message of Daniel would be a poignant one for our nation right now, because it's about politics. It's about knowing that God's in control. And when you see that, it helps you find harmony with the world, which is like the Taoist idea. So it's like Taoist Christian Taoism. Yeah. I think Christian Taoism still sounds better, but Taoist Christian is probably more correct. Cause like, okay. I think the last thing is like your identity and the other one's the descriptor. I don't know.
Gotcha.
I don't know that.
Call it whatever you want.
Yeah.
The rules are made up. The points are meaningless and the rules are made up.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for letting us know about all of that. I love how I've had my seminary life for so long, which has kind of been like a theological diary. And then like my friends who I've been like podcasting with for a few years now are like, hey, I'm going to start a theology diary now too. Cool. Back to the Karate Kid, the Kung Fu Dream, which I feel more appropriate saying for this movie. Yeah. That temple scene. On the one hand, it is kind of like you said, just kind of like, well, this came out of nowhere. It is actually still within the Karate Kid stuff a little bit, because in the next Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi takes Hilary Swank's character, Julie, to a Buddhist temple. Okay, cool. So we got a little bit of a temple thing. And I agree with you. There is a lot to sit and I'm trying not to use the word reflect, because that was the word that kept being used here. But a lot to sit and reflect on when it came to this scene of like trying to collect my thoughts here. You know, see yourself, see your opponent, learn from them. A little bit of like this, almost like projecting us also. Not so much of like projecting your thoughts of another person onto them, but like seeing yourself within the person as well. At the same time, though, when it comes to this temple scene, at the same time, that part when Jaden Smith just dunks his head into the yin yang pool and drinks the water. Now,
funny,
I'm thinking less in terms of spirituality and more in terms of that scene in Nacho Libre when he climbs the mountain, gets the eagle egg and starts eating it. Do you remember that part? That is where my head went during that pool scene of like, this is just Nacho Libre getting his eagle powers. Like,
well, I'm gonna be in apologetics for the scene, that part of the scene.
Sure.
Because at first I'm like, yeah, man, this is cringe and annoying. And then the more I think about it, partially maybe because of my Pentecostal uproots, but also, again, thinking like Taoist, so much like we treat spirituality as like, oh, yes, the Bible. I'm going to have, you know, some soft violin playing. And I'm going to read a little bit. And it's like, man, sometimes it's fun. And sometimes if you take this stuff seriously, like, wait a minute, you're telling me God lives in these words? Why the hell am I going to put this thing down? I'm going to drink some coffee, turn some rock and roll on, make sure I stay awake and read the whole freaking thing right now, right? Like,
okay.
To some extent, it's actually absurd. This is something that I've thought for most of my life. It's almost absurd how calmly we do treat some of this stuff. Like, wait a minute. You're telling me this water has spiritual significance and you want me to lightly sip from? No, man, I want all of it. It's like Peter, like, what do you mean wash my feet? If that's you giving me you, wash all of me.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, to some extent, I'm like, why are we acting so reserved? If we truly believe this stuff, it's silly to be like, oh, yes, the God that created the universe lives in me. I might read a sentence or two from his book later.
Pip, 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 yeah, like, cheerio. That's how he sounded.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
That's true. And I've kind of have gotten into that place, speaking theologically. This is, for me, a lot of communion has kind of changed. Yeah. My perspective on a lot of that has changed away from, I grew up like Baptist in the Baptist world. So it's just a symbol. It's just grape juice. It's just a cracker to very much like, no, there is something like spiritual going on here when we partake of these elements. And therefore we should take this moment very seriously, but also look forward to this moment. Not just something that we have to do on a Sunday kind of thing.
And it's funny because, again, I get a little irritated because the like Pentecostalism I grew up in was so conservative and dogmatic that I'm like, there's some parts of it I really don't like. But then there's some parts I'm like, wait a minute, they're right to look at David when he was dancing indignantly and be like, we should be like that. And I'm like, yeah, to some extent, some of that stuff is just right. Like, it just doesn't make sense for us to treat this thing like it's not what it is. You know?
It's true.
But then on the other hand, some people take it absurd and like, I feel God on me and he's telling me right now that if you give, you know, like, let's be wise about it, but let's also not act like it's normal that we're saying the God of the universe lives in us, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Let's not treat it like, yes, we need to take these things. There is a weird tension between reverence and joyful expression.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think in the show, I don't think that when the kid was told that thing about the water, I don't think he was doing it for show. It was just him, the guy there. I think he was like, sweet, I believe you. Let me dive in.
Let me dive in.
And like, that's the thing. Like, it's not about show, but if you really believe some of this stuff, we should be face planting into the water, diving in, you know, whatever.
Stephen Curtis Chapman, I'm diving in. I'm going deep.
Actually, a really good song for no reason.
It is one of those. Yeah. I mean, I have always liked Stephen Curtis Chapman, but it definitely is one of those.
I liked your theology better, dude.
Yeah.
your songs are actually kind of cool.
That one is like top 10 Christian songs that shouldn't go that hard.
Also, I'm going to do a quick plug.
Go ahead.
Since you were talking about communion, I already recorded, I think, the Wednesday following when this releases, if I'm correct.
Sure.
We'll have a whole church podcast out where I interview Kendall Vanderslice, who wrote a book, Bake and Pray, and talking about the role of bread in the Bible and talking about some stuff with communion there, too, that I think you and your listeners might find really interesting and probably worth listening.
Now,
it was a lot of fun. She's cool, too.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Anyway.
How to bring this full circle. We have been diving into the Karate Kid universe for all five films now. I know you've only have really watched like the first one and then
I think
this
I've
one.
Seen all except for the show. I just don't remember them all.
I'm ready to give my top five.
Okay.
I'm
ready to hear your top five.
For me, this conversation still is very strongly number one and number two, The Karate Kid and The Karate Kid Part Two. It's a battle for third place. And I think at the recording of this episode, I am going to go with The Karate Kid, The Karate Kid Part 2, The Karate Kid 2010, The Next Karate Kid, The Karate Kid Part 3. The Karate Kid Part 3 is just so cheesy.
Not your favorite.
Yeah. It's just, I don't think there's, not, I think people really come to this series of like, the first two are great, the rest is garbage. I don't think the rest is garbage. I think it's actually a pretty strong film series with some weak points in it. The third one of the original trilogy is the weakest link for me.
All right. Do I need to watch the next Karate Kid before Karate Kid Legacy?
As far as I know, you don't. Cool. I included it here because I wanted to make sure we got all of the movies in a run. Who knows, though? There may be an end credit scene where Hilary Swank shows up. And oh my gosh, if that does happen, I sound like a freaking genius right now.
Yeah, it's like that time that I forced my friend to do a marathon with me before Infinity War, Avengers Infinity War came out. I was like, oh, we got to watch the first Captain America. He's like, why? And I'm like, what if Red Skull shows up? We never know. And then he did.
And he did. Good job on that one. Okay, so any final thoughts on this?
No, I think I'm good. I did watch Fighting With The Family afterwards. Also a great movie.
Is that the one about WWE's Paige?
Yeah, it's great.
Nice. Might have to get that one sometime. Well, that is it for today's episode, listeners. Thank you again, Josh, for being here on the show. If you haven't yet already, listeners, please make sure you follow Kung Fu Pizza Party on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party and on Letterboxd at Kung Fu Pizza PRTY. You can check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. And we've plugged, I think, all of Josh's shows here in this episode, which you can find all here on the Anazao Ministries Podcast Network. We'll see you all next time on the show. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where we've delivered high flying action we delivered high flying. I don't think it was as long as the last time Josh was here, though. And we're serving it. We did definitely serve up some wisdom, one slice at a time.